Good evening, everyone. I hope you've been well. I'm feeling better myself. One of our favorite YouTubers, Glam and Gore, began releasing her special holiday episodes investigating haunted places, so that has been very exciting. Anyway, tonight I have two strange and spooky stories for you. Thank you so much to Kalushar and Amy Dowling for their kind submissions. So settle in and get ready for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
So, a few years ago, I was with my mom and my sister. We were driving up to see my grandfather and his wife, my step-grandmother. We drove for hours up into the wooded mountains of Georgia until eventually we reached his house. The house sat on top of a hill, and at the bottom of the hill was a small tin barn of sorts that held a four-wheeler. When we arrived, we toured the property and saw the woods until dusk. Then we went inside. The house was reasonably large with about 6 rooms, the only ones of which I can remember is the living room, the bedroom, and the kitchen dining room. The living room was composed of 2 conjoined rooms which held a table with 4 chairs. A desk with a computer, and a couch with a small end table which held an old TV. I was younger at the time, so for what I would guess was about an hour or two, I played on the computer and colored online coloring pages of Clifford the Big Red Dog. When we were ready to go to bed, I had to sleep on the couch in the living room. I laid on the couch and watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit. When the movie had just finished up and I had just turned it off, I heard a noise. From where I was on the couch, I could see into the kitchen and back down the hall at the master bedroom door where my grandfather slept. The door to the master bedroom opened. Out walked a black figure. I wasn't surprised. It was dark and no lights were on. So I wasn't surprised I couldn't see who I thought was my grandfather. I figured he'd got up for a drink or a snack because he walked into the kitchen and opened the fridge. That was the moment which changed my life forever. As the person I couldn't discern opened the fridge, their darkness wasn't banished by the fridge light. It was as if the fridge light just didn't shine on it at all. It was as if the light curved around it. The light shone everywhere else but on it. There was light on the wall behind it and on the floor below it. Where it stood, it left no shadow in the light. And from what little I could see of it, it had short hair. It was a young man and was about 1/4 foot shorter than the fridge. It pulled a whole gallon of milk from the fridge and just chugged it straight from the jug. I didn't see any milk spill on it, and it drank for about 5 to 7 seconds without stopping. Then it put the cap back on the milk and put it back. Then it closed the fridge and disappeared back into the bedroom and shut the door. I had no idea what I had just saw, and it frankly scared the crap out of me. We left the next day, and I never said a word. My grandfather later moved out of the house, although I don't know if it was due to it or because he simply wanted to be nearer to my mother, who was his daughter. I eventually talked to my mother about it years later, and she said that she had been there with me on the couch and had also seen it. I still know to this day she was not there with me. I remember laying all the way out on that short 5-foot-wide couch. I wonder though if she just didn't remember or if she was lying. But if she was lying, then why? Why would she lie about being there? Why would she just acknowledge the existence of it to a young kid whom she would have had just said was dreaming? Why would she say she believed me if she wasn't even there? I think what I saw that night was a shadow person. I never saw it again. The following story included a video. You can find it on my Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio. This happened in October of 2018. I had booked a trip to Milan for my boyfriend's birthday to watch a football, soccer for my American friends, game in the San Siro Stadium and spend the rest of our trip exploring the city. Before I go on to tell the rest of my story, I've always believed in ghosts, and I'm naturally quite frightened of anything to do with the paranormal. My boyfriend, on the other hand, is very skeptical about that sort of thing, and I've never known him to scare easy. He is also a very rational person. Thank God one of us is. So his response to what happened on the first night of our trip made it all the more terrifyingly real to me. We'd gotten up early that morning to catch our flight, and we were excited to get to Milan and see where we'd be staying. I'd organized for us to stay in an apartment that was within walking distance of the stadium and a short ride on the subway into the city center. I'd stayed in apartments before and liked having the extra facilities. The apartment had good reviews and the photos made it look modern and spacious, so I was looking forward to seeing it in person. The apartment was owned by a company who'd arranged for a representative to meet us with the keys and show us around. By the time we'd reached the apartment, we were both pretty tired. We had spent the entire day traveling. I was in crutches at this point, so my boyfriend was carrying both of our luggage. We were greeted by a middle-aged Italian woman who seemed very friendly. She welcomed us both and let us in through the gate of the property. The first thing I noticed was that the windows were covered with bars, like you would see for a jail cell. I didn't think about it too much, just that it was a bit strange. The company representative then unlocked the front door and let us inside. Once we walked up a few steps, we'd reached the apartment. My first impression was how dated the decor and furniture looked, not at all how it was on the advertisement. She then proceeded to take us on a short tour around the apartment so that we could familiarize ourselves with the layout. To give you an idea of what it looked like, the living room led out into a hallway. If you turned right, it led you to the kitchen, the bathroom, a bedroom, study, and then at the end was the master bedroom. If you turned left, it led to a very narrow spiral staircase that we assumed led down to the floor below. It was impossible to tell because if you stared down into it, it disappeared into the floor and there was nothing but darkness. We waited for the woman to refer to the staircase, but she never did. As I mentioned, by this point we were both shattered and honestly we just wanted her to leave so that we could both have a nap. So when she asked if we had any questions, we didn't even mention the staircase and thanked her for her help. I had already made my way to the master bedroom and was getting ready to lie down when I realized my boyfriend was looking down the staircase.
"I'm gonna have a look and see what's down there,"
he said as he started his way down. The staircase was so narrow I knew there'd be no chance I would get down there with my crutches. Not that I wanted to go down there. It was so creepy. I called down to my boyfriend to ask him what was down there. He said it looked like it was a living room at one time as there was an old couch, but that wasn't what concerned him. There was a door that had been left open. This door led to the outside path that connected to the street. My boyfriend searched the bunch of keys that we'd been left when one finally locked the door. He was pissed that, had he not decided to look downstairs, we would have been left vulnerable. Anyone could have walked in off the street while we slept. Something just didn't feel right. Why hadn't the Italian woman mentioned the staircase or the whole extra floor we had access to beneath us? Had she even known the door was left open? Maybe it had been locked by her, but then opened by someone or something else. Once he came back upstairs, we both got under the duvet and I set an alarm for 8 p.m. so that we could go out for dinner and drinks. It was around 5:30 p.m. at this point. I don't remember falling asleep, but by the time my alarm was going off at 8 p.m., I was still feeling pretty sleepy. And it proved nearly impossible to wake my boyfriend. He mumbled something about being too tired and just fell back asleep. Because I was still pretty tired, I decided to set an alarm for 6 a.m. so that we could get an early start after being well rested. Then began the most terrifying night of my life. By this point, I had heard of people talking about sleep paralysis. Both my sister and boyfriend had spoken about their experiences with it before. I felt lucky to never have been in that position, as the thought alone petrified me. Thinking back to that night and the events that unfolded, I'm not sure if what I experienced was sleep paralysis or something more sinister. I remember waking up and facing out in the direction that would have been towards the hallway. I knew this as I was lying on my left-hand side. Almost immediately, I realized that I couldn't open my eyes or move any part of my body for that matter. I tried to use my elbow to jab into my boyfriend's back as I could feel his resting against mine. I even tried shouting his name, but my body would not respond. Just as I began to panic, I started to hear whispering in my right ear. And it sounds as though whoever is whispering has their head right next to mine. Remember, I was lying on my left-hand side, so that means for someone to be whispering that closely, they had to be leaning over my body, or somehow floating over my body. When all this was going on, I was completely freaking out, but tried to compose myself by rationalizing it, putting the blame on an episode of sleep paralysis, and it would soon pass. The whispering sounded like a male's voice. It was soft, slow, and indecipherable. The only thing I can vaguely compare it to is parcel tongue, as in Harry Potter. Ridiculous, I know. I don't remember the whispering stopping. The next thing I remembered was jolting awake as if something had woken me. I immediately remembered the sleep paralysis and was too terrified to go back to sleep. I checked my mobile phone for the time and it was around 3:30 a.m. I contemplated waking my boyfriend because I was so scared. But he was still sleeping soundly, so I thought he must have really needed the rest, and I would have felt guilty. Over the next hour or so, I heard a lot of noises that seemed to be coming from all over the room, and from what would be the bottom of that staircase. I heard the bars across the windows rattle as if they were being shaken. I blamed this one on the weather. I heard creaking that seemed to be coming from inside the walls of the bedroom. I blamed this on the age of the building. I had heard what sounded like light footsteps and scuffles coming from the staircase, but again tried to rationalize what was going on by finding anything I could to blame it on. But then something happened that was unmistakable. What I should mention at this point is that the wall that faced the bed was basically made up of one huge wardrobe, which had lots of small compartments and featured one big mirror in the middle of the wall. As I lay there pretending not to hear all the creepy noises, clear as day, I hear three very distinct knocks. They sound like they've come from behind that wall. More specifically, from behind that mirror. I literally feel my stomach drop and struggle to comprehend what I've just heard. I can't remember how much time passed, but I just sat there too terrified to move. I then noticed my boyfriend starting to stir. I have never been so relieved in my life. I check my phone and it's 5 a.m. now. My alarm was set for 6 a.m., but my boyfriend had been sleeping pretty much for 12 hours and was wide awake. So we decided to start getting ready in an hour or so. He asked me how I slept, so I decided to tell him about the sleep paralysis and how much it freaked me out. He said that he had also been freaked out during the night. As it turned out, he had also heard the bars rattling outside the window. I asked him if he'd also heard the creaking in the walls, and he said he had heard that too. He complained of feeling a certain unease about the place in general. Hearing my boyfriend say these things only confirmed my feelings of fear, and I knew I was not over-exaggerating. I then asked him about the three knocks, but he didn't remember hearing anything that resembled knocks. I told him that they'd sounded as if they'd come directly from behind the mirror. As he glances over at it, he says,
"That mirror opens."
I was confused and didn't know what he meant. He then pointed out that there were hinges trailing all the way down the right-hand side of the mirror. We both stayed silent for a moment, but I knew what my boyfriend was going to do. Being curious and in some attempt to squash my fears, and maybe his, he walked over to the mirror and decided he was going to open it. What he found inside made my blood run cold. He had his back to me, so he was blocking whatever he pulled out. With a nervous laugh, he turned around and presented it. A remembrance candle for an Italian doctor who died in 1930. A million thoughts ran through my mind. Was this someone who used to occupy the property? Did he die in the living area beneath us? Is this who knocked on the mirror? Is this who whispered in my ear during the night? I have never packed a suitcase so quickly in my life. We both agreed that something wasn't right about the apartment and stayed at a hotel for the rest of our trip. What still freaks me out the most is the door at the bottom of the staircase my boyfriend found lying open. Was it just an honest mistake? Or had it been unlocked by someone who liked to come up and go as they please? When I think about the footsteps and scuffles I could have sworn I heard coming from the bottom of that staircase through the night, I dread to think. Most of what happened in that apartment remains unexplained, and if I'm honest, I'd rather keep it that way. I'm not shaking. You are. Thanks so much again to Kali Shar and Amy Dowling for allowing me to share their stories. I really appreciate when you guys email me your experiences. Be sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be sharing the video from Amy's story on there at Nightmare Society Radio, and follow me on Twitter at @society_radio. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, sweet dreams.